Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, and it is the 6th of July, and I'm recording at 10:01 p.m., and that is in London, and that's British summertime. Okay, and, well, fear in many of the markets here today, as a consequence of that larger-than-expected no vote that came out of that Greek referendum. Now, I'll just do the first part of this audio and give a just quick summary here for those who are in a hurry. But most stock markets were weak, so it's easier to point out the exceptions. And China, which is battling to, well, the government's battling to regain control of the market, having let it get out of control with all sorts of speculation going on, very high leverage trading in the A-share indices. So again, more violent swings in here today, but the Shanghai Composite and the Shenzhen Composite, no, not the Shenzhen, let's see, the Shanghai Composite and the CSI 300 closing higher here today by 2.5% or more. And the Hang Seng, though, was hit hard, down 3.18%. And the China Enterprise Index down nearly 3% as well. So those are back on in prior support from the previous large trading range. And also the 200-day moving averages. Valuations are very attractive. Owen's written about them today. I think it's interesting. And while China's always a bit scary, don't fight the central bank. Don't fight what the government's trying to do is one of the wise old adages that veteran subscribers have heard over the last 45 years or more. Okay, India also remains in form. Those are the two highlights of Asia, and India is very, very steady and continuing to recover. Okay, looking at Europe, clipped in here today. Again, some big declines overall, a number of them over 2%. Including France, Spain, Italy down over 4%, and nothing on the upside. Oh, while I was in that Asia Pacific region, one that's not on my current sheet as I look through Bloomberg, but I know was stronger in here today was Vietnam. Which has been on a good run recently, largely because the government is allowing more foreign money to come into the market. And Wall Street, a modest decline here, on average a third of a percentage point across the indices. Some nervous testing of these MAs here. Particularly by the S&P and the Dow. As you know, utilities and transports, well, they've been weak for a while. So we creep a little closer to that 10% plus correction on Wall Street. You could say we're already seeing that on the transports and the utilities indices. And again, nervous conditions in these markets during a period of the year which is known for its underperformance. And looking elsewhere, the other really big story in here today is crude oil falling really quite sharply. A lot of production. There is fear that a U.S.-Iran deal might open the door to a whole lot more production coming out of Iran. And so we've seen Brent slump down to $56.77. That's down $3.55. And the WTI slumped to $52.75. And that is down $4.18 as I speak. Precious metals looking queasy in here. The platinum market hit a new reaction low here earlier today, then closed just off that. Palladium can't be that far off a new reaction low. They're all soft here generally. Looks like they're going going lower. And on that note, I'll end the short summary and go back now and look at some of this other stock market activity in the Asia Pacific region. So it's Vietnam, China, and India that got the green notices in here today. India looks the most attractive to me. It's more expensive overall. But it got in its correction earlier on. It's the Narendra Modi story. You know all about that. This is just going to be a good bull market. We've completed that corrective phase, and are now index is working its way back up towards its highs, showing some real gains on the year once again in U.S. dollar terms. 2.75 to 2.5% on the two main indices, the CNX Nifty and the S&P BSE Sensex 30 index. Elsewhere, Taiwan weakened in here today, down over 1%. South Korea down 2.5%. These are soft. Australia down 1.14%. The Malaysian market is soft. It's been way underperforming here. It's nearly 2 years of underperforming. And I've got a report that I'll be posting from Bernard Tan here today. That's a good report, and not encouraging as far as Malaysia is concerned, taking a long-term view. But all of these so-called little tigers in here are soft. Thailand, Indonesia, here New Zealand's also down on the day. You heard about the Europeans. They're under this cloud, of course, from the vote, the in-out or the yes-no vote. With the nose winning heavily, caught the market by surprise here. There have been a lot of surprises in this situation, and no doubt there will be some more before it's all resolved. But you go back to this time last week, and the yes vote had a clear lead. Then that was gradually dissipated, and later in the week, Wednesday and Thursday, the no vote was creeping in front. And then Tsipras, well, you got to credit him for being well organized on the propaganda, because they held these big rallies. They were a little bit like pop concerts with lots of music and so on, and then Tsipras coming out and giving some fiery speeches. And so they produced that 61% no vote here. It's sort of a national thumbs nose up given by the Greeks to the EU. So how's the EU going to respond? I'd be they probably don't even know themselves at this stage, but I hope they hang tough in here. Otherwise, they're just going to be in further trouble. And I think Greece would be a lot better off outside of the euro. It could go through a rapid devaluation that would be painful in the short term, but then they'd start getting tourists flooding in, and they'd be next year they'd enjoy a decent recovery, I suspect. But we will see. It depends how desperate some of these EU officials are to keep them keep Greece in the EU. I think that's a lost cause, and I think it's damaging politically. even more damaging than it's been politically so far. And I think the euro, although a lot of people are talking it lower, I think the euro would be stronger without Greece, as I've said before. Okay, moving on to the US, I'm worried about this 10% plus correction. Well, it's inevitable we're going to get these from time to time. And this period of seasonal underperformance, and with the slow, very big slowdown in US profit growth, partly due to the stronger US dollar, there are a whole lot of reasons why that could actually occur. So don't be the least bit surprised if you see the stronger indices, such as the S&P, and particularly the NASDAQ. Don't be at all surprised if over the next few months we see them break downwards and get some real corrections. I'm certainly not looking for any collapse. I'm not looking for anything that would be more than at worst a cyclical bearish phase, such as we saw in, it was 2012, wasn't it? I think it was 2012, not 2011. But when the S&P fell 20%, and then that was the extent of it. That's the type of risk that we face in here overall. One of the reasons why markets aren't going to unravel big time is because you've got a lot of QE that's still taking place. That's in Europe, that's in Japan, China with its own version. Japan's probably the most reliable at this stage, but I suspect that Europe might have the best percentage play once we get a resolution to this Grexit issue. In other words, clear the air, then everybody can stop worrying about Greece all day long and concentrate on valuations, economic recovery prospects of the stronger European economies, and the massive QE of 60 billion euros a month that Mario Draghi is pumping into the system. So yes, big choppy year here, but it's hardly the end of the world. Now, government bonds, the bond yields, well, just pick up the 10, U.S. 10-year. They fell sharply here, down to 2.285% on the 10-year. Now that's the bottom of the range, which I've called a consolidation range here overall. And taking their cue from global fears, Grexit fears, uncertainty over what the stock market's actually going to do. VIX also steady-ish, although off its highs on the day. It's 17.01 in here, but again, nervous markets generally. In terms of currencies, the dollar is steady here, 96 and a quarter, just over 96 and a quarter. For the dollar index. And the euro is down to 1.1056. Sterling is down to, where are you, Sterling? It's actually Sterling's firmer, 1.5606. I mentioned precious metals generally weak, although the there are exceptions here on the day. It's platinum and palladium that are really weak here today. Silver's a little firmer at 1571, and gold also a couple of dollars firmer at 1170. Short-term oversold conditions, but I don't like the chart patterns. Lower highs, lower lows for the most part. Lack of interest. As far as buyers are concerned. And that crude oil, those are big downward dynamics in here today. Unless they reverse most of that tomorrow, and I wouldn't hold my breath, that's going to be, well, it's just going to confirm a further test of underlying trading in here. That's good news for consumers overall. Less good for the U.S. because the U.S. is a major oil producer. Who benefits the most? The oil importers. Would be countries like India would do really well. And if we get, and I've been skeptical about this, so I'll be pleasantly surprised if we get an acceptable deal between the U.S. and Iran. The whole problem with this is, are they going to be able to verify that Iran is complying with the conditions requested? And of course, it's humiliating to think that you've got to let foreigners come in and look through your production facilities and developmental and research projects and so on. But we'll see. We will see. There are reports out that if Iran does do a deal so that the sanctions come off, then that Russia would be one of the major sufferers as a result of a considerable increase in Iranian crude oil. But all oil producers, I think, would be hurt by that. That's good news in the long term. We've got cheaper energy prices, which are going to be with us for a very long time to come. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.